the following film has been modified from its original version. It has been formatted to fit the screen. In the logo, lightning slashes through a blue sphere. Touchstone Pictures. In the logo, a beam of light projects from a skyscraper. Beacon. Words appear. Touchstone Pictures and Beacon Pictures present Amandaville Films, Ashok Amritraj Production, a Gary Marshall film. Now a New York City sanitation truck pulls away from a curb. I need a Kendall pilot with a sexy smile and a flying limousine. A man in a plaid bathrobe walks a fluffy Pomeranian dog. As he passes, a slender woman in a tight black skirt and knee-high leather boots emerges from an apartment building. The woman strides briskly across the street. You know what I mean? Stand back. Out of my way. Stand back. Titles appear. Kate Hudson is Helen, John Corbett is Pastor Dan, and Joan Cusack is Jenny in Raising Helen. The woman, Helen, buys coffee from a street vendor, the breeze rustling her long blonde curls as she approaches a subway station by Central Park. Now she steps out of an elevator, carrying a stack of portfolios. Later, a model spits gum into Helen's palm. Helen gives Advil to another model, who chases them with a sip of white wine. On a city street, Helen hands yellow hard hats to male models in tight boxer shorts. Also starring Hayden Panettiere, Spencer Breslin, Abigail Breslin, and Helen Mirren. Now this is my time to step up to the mic. At night, she returns to her apartment. Inside, she unzips her tall leather boots and slips them off. She pads toward a large closet and rifles through hanging black clothing. Stand back, stand back. Now Helen crosses a cobblestone street wearing 4-inch black stiletto heels. A limousine pulls away from the curb, revealing a long line of people outside a club. A bouncer ushers in 4 stylish women. Helen approaches a tall woman waiting in line.
Not you. Too random.
Hey, Tinka. What are you doing?
I'm waiting for you.
Oh, no, you can't become a supermodel waiting in the middle of the line. Follow me.
Helen grins at the bouncer.
Good evening, Jimmy.
Hey.
This is Tinka.
She's with you?
Are you kidding? I'm with her. She's the next big thing. Look at her.
I may be, but she's not on the list.
Resting her head on his shoulder, Helen writes on the list.
Look at that. She is now stunned. Come on.
Let him in.
They enter the club.
So that's how it works.
Who is she?
Hey, what about us, stud?
The bouncer smirks as a woman mockingly rests her head on his shoulder. Inside the club, a bartender pours drinks for Helen and Tinka. Slim, glamorous people crowd the dance floor. On a balcony, Helen approaches a gum-chewing DJ.
Hey, Rufus.
He pops a bubble.
Hey.
What's happening?
That's what's happening. Who is she?
Tinka gyrates on stage.
Close your mouth, Rufus. It's Tinka. Everybody knows Tinka.
Well, I'll give her a shout-out. Hey, that girl on stage with the serious moves is Tinka.
Helen beams. Daytime. A flower bed and a sign with a golden D adorn the front of a brick building.
Dominique Modeling Agency, good morning.
Inside.
No, Caitlin's not in this early. I'll connect you to her voicemail.
Helen walks in.
Hey, Lacey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
2 calls from Paris, 1 from Milan, and both need you to call back right now.
Ouch!
A little girl emerges from under the desk.
Lacey, don't kick Mom. Lacey, you brought Shelby again. Dominique's gonna kill you.
Well, she's getting picked up at 7:30.
Shh, watch out.
Glancing at her mail, Helen strides across the large room full of desks, shelves, and photographs. A custodian dusts one of the empty desks.
Good morning. Okay, you can send your picture and resume.
Helen sits down at a desk alongside a wall covered with framed headshots.
Dominique Modeling Agency, good morning. No, Dominique's not in yet. Can I give you her assistant, Helen? Thank you.
Hello, it's Helen. Hi. Oh, bonjour, Didier.
The clock reads 7. Later, it's 9:30.
Okay, Jean-Paul, so let's go over who you booked for that shoot again. Yeah, just to be sure. Verusha, Sigrid Olofsson, Malik, Tinka,
Tinka?
In a studio, Jean-Paul checks Tinka? Papers.
Who is Tinka?
Helen grins.
Morning, Lacey.
A silver-haired woman saunters in.
Dominique's here.
You smell funny. What is it, baby powder?
You need to sign these, please.
Who are you?
Mary, I'm the intern.
Hope you're here long enough for me to remember your name.
A young staffer hands Dominique a stack of photographs.
Dominique, here are the gentlemen for the Lola ad.
Dominique rifles through them.
Every man? Well, they're not every man. Do better.
I demand to have a first. Let me speak to Dominique right now.
In his studio, John Paul holds a cell phone.
Oh, you've heard about Tinker, have you? Well, if you want her, she's going to cost you double, you know? She's very popular.
Dominique mouths, "Who's Tinker?" Helen holds up a headshot, and Dominique smiles.
Good. We got a deal. Bye.
I love new clients.
A staffer brings more photos.
Caitlin.
Dominique frowns.
No, no, it looks like a model. No, it's too beautiful. We need a, you know, every man, a bloke, really, you know, nice.
Dominique follows Helen's gaze to where a sandy-haired man changes the water cooler.
You see, that's a bloke. Excuse me, you with the water, what's your name?
Gary Hagelnick.
Gio.
Garza.
Would you photograph him, please?
The photographer leads Gary away.
I don't do naked anymore.
Take some test shots. I think he's our Lola guy.
Later, Helen leaves with Caitlin and lights a cigarette.
I'm probably...
Listen, have fun with your sisters tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'll call you on my way back.
Okay.
Helen hurries up the street carrying a gift bag. Now, a train speeds by a sign that reads New Jersey Transit. Later, in the suburbs, a taxi pulls up in front of a house. Inside, a family sits around a table, smiling at a 40-ish woman with short blonde hair. Helen gets out of the cab and runs up the front walk to the large Dutch colonial house.
Dear Mom!
Aunt Helen's here!
Helen's here!
Hang on!
The short-haired Lindsay hurries to the door and embraces Helen.
How are you? Oh, I'm so glad you're here!
And you smell good!
Hey, Aunt Helen!
All right.
Helen hugs a little boy and girl. At the table, a woman in a pink cardigan shifts awkwardly, still holding the cake. A teenage girl pulls Helen aside.
Helen, good God.
Your first fake ID. Congratulations, Mrs. Gonzalez.
The only name they had.
The woman in the cardigan glances down at the cake as Helen enters the dining room.
Sorry, I'm late.
She kisses a man's cheek.
And what were you two?
Oh, nothing.
Helen and her niece share a smile.
Just catching up.
Do you want something to eat? Are you hungry?
No, I'm fine. I am sure? Stuffed. I ate an apple.
Helen glances at the woman in the cardigan, still holding the cake.
Sorry, Jenny.
Jenny turns to Lindsay.
And happy birthday to you.
Okay, make a wish, honey.
Lindsay closes her eyes. She blows out the candles and hands one to Helen.
See, they couldn't put all the candles on there, else the smoke alarm would go off.
Later, in the living room.
I love this, thank you.
Lindsay kisses her husband and picks up another gift.
Okay, who's this? This is Jenny.
Yes.
And I wonder what it is. It must be potpourri. No, you're all wrong.
Lindsay pulls out a basket.
It's not potpourri. It's a make-your-own potpourri kit.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much.
Who's next?
Oh, me.
Helen hands Lindsay her gift, and Lindsay opens the card.
Lindsay, just remember, you're never too old to dance around in your underwear. No way.
She pulls out a CD.
Oh my gosh. Oh, my gosh, look.
Oh, no, Debo.
You got the hat.
Lindsay beams as she holds out red plastic hats shaped like tiered cakes.
Remember this? Work.
She shows Jenny her hat.
And remember, you kind of look like fire hydrants.
Remember the moves?
Do I remember the moves? Just see if you can keep up. Come on.
Lindsay bounces up and down, and Helen bends down and whips the air.
Correct and whip.
The men and kids join in.
Give the pass a slip.
A tall man with sideburns dances up to Jenny like a robot.
Come on, honey.
Oh, no. Look at you go.
Let's whip it good.
Oh, Helen and Lindsay dance together. The young girl, about 5 years old, shimmies in a tutu while Jenny cleans up cake. The round-cheeked boy holds a turtle aquarium like a boombox.
Into shape. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good.
Later outside, Jenny steps gingerly into the yard where the rest of the family plays tetherball and basketball. Lindsay shoots and makes a basket. Lindsay hugs two of her kids. Lindsay claps, smiling tightly. Later in the kitchen, Lindsay helps Helen out of her knee-length skirt.
Okay, step out. Holy Toledo.
Underneath, Helen wears a black mini dress.
What's going on? Jen, our little sister has grown up and turned into a dance club tramp.
Oh, please, you should talk. You had your fun.
Yeah, that was fun, but I was never a size two, you traitor.
Hey, we would have won. We played horse.
Jenny's husband, Ed, spots Helen and fans his face with his hand.
Oh, honey.
Jenny shoots him a look of mock surprise. Lindsay's husband walks in as Lindsay stands at the kitchen sink.
Good night, everybody.
No, the birthday girl should not be doing the dishes.
I agree.
He hugs her.
Yeah, I'll go change my shirt and I'll come back and take over, okay? Okay.
Helen.
Oh, you guys are such a Pottery Barn catalog. How did that happen?
He sees her dress.
Woo!
Helen shrugs.
It's like they've never seen a dress before.
They just haven't seen a half of a dress. You know what you were saying about the Pottery Barn catalog? You know how you get there? You meet the nice guy. You get married.
Jenny touches her pregnant belly.
And you get to experience the
miracle of life.
Jenny stares at them for a moment, then lowers her eyes and picks up the leftover cake, frowning.
Oh.
Helen leans down and rubs Jenny's belly.
Well, I don't know why I bothered
talking
to you.
Oh, no. Hello in there. Will I be seeing you in 4 months? Yes, I will. I hope you like potpourri. Yes, I do. And I hope you like Tupperware parties. And lots of flowers.
It's true, though. I do. I love them.
Now at a bar, Helen and her date, Devin, sing karaoke.
Oh, I feel what love is. I want to know.
People in the bar stare and laugh. An MC steps onto the stage.
And I want you.
All right.
You.
All right, thank you. That was great.
Now in a hallway, Devin kisses Helen.
Keep it down, I got neighbors. I don't know any of them, but I got them.
Helen frowns.
What are you wearing?
I don't know. Whatever they put on me.
You took these from the photo shoot? You know you're not supposed to take the clothes you model.
All right. So I guess I should take them off.
I'll help you.
She unbuttons his shirt.
What is this?
Oh, bubble wrap.
It's wrapped around his chest.
The photographer wanted me to look more buff.
Ooh.
What?
Helen pops the bubble wrap with her teeth. She grins as she pulls him into her apartment. Kissing, they close the door behind them. Now an ad on the side of a bus reads, "Every man loves a Lola girl," and shows Gary with a water jug gazing at a model. Helen chuckles as she passes the bus. Now a man in a suit ushers people into a restaurant as Caitlin and others wait outside.
Thank you for waiting. Any minute. Any minute. Christopher, don't make me phone for a pizza.
Helen joins the group.
Hey, hi.
Hi, what is this?
Sunday brunch gridlock?
Oh, I know. They just keep on telling us any minute now, like it's a mantra.
Can we wait like normal patient adults?
No.
Christopher?
Now Helen and her friends sit at a table. A waitress approaches.
Oh, I would like a Bellini, please.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Bellini.
Helen digs in her purse for her phone.
Ask my sister. Jenny, can I call you back?
Helen turns away from the table, covering her ear with her hand.
Acceptable guys at 12 o'clock.
Jenny, slow down. I can't hear you.
Helen's brow creases.
What? Oh, no.
She covers her face, then places a hand on her chest. Her friends stare.
What's the matter?
Look at Helen.
Jenny.
Helen, what happened?
Helen rests her elbows on the table and cradles her head in her hand. A friend reaches out and touches her arm. Helen sits motionless.
Are you sure?
Now black-clad mourners walk up the sidewalk to Lindsay's house. Inside, Ed mingles with guests.
Jumped the center divider and slammed into them. They didn't have time to react. That's what the police think, anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Across the room, Jenny passes a middle-aged couple.
So what happens now with the kids?
Oh.
Do the kids have any grandparents?
Oh, yes. Paul's parents. Came from Miami. They just barely made it today.
So sorry.
Helen sits in a bathroom, wiping her eyes. Downstairs, a woman hugs Jenny's kids.
I'm so sorry about your aunt and uncle.
Yeah, me too.
Upstairs, Helen steps slowly from the bathroom, her eyes puffy. She stops at a doorway, turning a tissue over and over in her hands. Blinking back tears, she steps inside a bedroom. She walks by the bed, running her hand gently over the footboard, and stops to squeeze a nightgown draped over the bed. On the dresser, a photo shows Lindsay and Paul grinning as they embrace.
Reverend Howland spoke so beautifully.
Downstairs, mourners fill the living room. In the bedroom, Helen dabs her eyes and takes deep breaths. Straightening, she strides toward the door. She stops and turns to the open closet. Reflected in the door mirror, Lindsay's three children huddle together beneath the hanging clothes. Helen peeks in, offering a sad smile. The kids stare up at her, their faces streaked with tears. The teenage girl holds the youngest girl's head in her lap, and the boy clings to a checkered tie. Downstairs, Jenny collects empty glasses.
Thank you. I'm so sorry.
So sorry.
Now, Helen sits between the older kids, the youngest snuggled on her lap.
It smells like mommy in here.
Helen gazes down at the girl, her lower lip trembling, then smiles and dabs her eyes.
Guys!
Jenny steps into the bedroom, glances at the open closet door, and walks inside. Helen and the kids sit on the floor, hugging Lindsay and Paul's clothing. Jenny swallows hard.
A lot of people are waiting to pay their respects. I'm sure they'd appreciate it if you all came downstairs.
They study her for a moment with pained expressions. The kids rise slowly and file out of the closet one by one. Helen sits alone on the floor, wiping her eyes. Jenny reaches out her hand and pulls her up. The sisters wrap their arms around each other tightly, then separate, holding hands.
We are going to get through this.
Helen nods.
Right.
Jenny begins to leave, then stops and turns to Helen.
Hey, do you mind going to the market for me and getting some blue party napkins?
Now? I mean, can't we use something else?
Jenny blinks, wide-eyed.
Helen, I've planned the funeral, and I've made the food, and I've taken responsibility for three very scared children. All I'm asking you for is four packages of blue three-ply dinner napkins with the seashell design so that people don't remember our sister and her husband with paper toweling on their laps.
Helen's eyelashes flutter.
All right.
Jenny frowns and wipes her eyes as Helen walks slowly from the room, her arms crossed. Now Helen answers Lindsay's door to people with dishes of food.
Terribly sorry. Hi, I'm Wanda from next door. If you need anything, my phone number's on the casserole.
Thank you.
And I'm Rudy from across the street. I also wanted to pay my condolences. Everyone loved Lindsay and Paul.
Helen carries the food inside. Frowning, she sets the dishes on a table full of pies and casseroles. Outside, Ed plays basketball with his children.
Oh, all right. Come on through. Give your brother a bounce pass. There you go.
Lindsay and Paul's kids stand on the sidelines.
Okay. Give Sarah a bath pass. Come on, Sarah.
The 5-year-old Sarah joins in. Now Helen and Jenny sit with lawyers.
Custody and care of the Davis children.
Helen smokes a cigarette.
An account and trust has been set up at Maplewood Savings Bank in the names of Audrey, Henry, and Sarah Davis. This bank also holds the mortgage on the Davis property at 207 Oak Street.
Yes, Larry, and that mortgage is quite large. We do need to talk about that also.
We will. With regard to custody of Audrey, Henry, and Sarah, we hereby appoint sole guardianship of all three children, imbuing her with all legal rights and responsibilities that guardianship entails to Helen Harris.
Helen looks up from the table and gapes at Larry.
What?
Jenny shakes her head.
What?
It's not a mistake. I prepared this for them myself. They were very clear. Helen Harris.
Helen frowns and raises her eyebrows. Blinking, Jenny lowers her gaze.
Jenny should have them. She's got kids. She's got the mom haircut. It's just super mom.
She left a letter for each of you explaining her decision.
The lawyer passes letters to the sisters.
You know I handled your mother's will. Lindsay and Paul's was equally specific.
Jenny's face tenses as she reads. Staring at her own letter, Helen knots her brow. Jenny closes her eyes.
Good Lord, Lindsay.
She turns to Helen.
Can I read yours? Helen.
Helen keeps reading.
Are there any contingencies?
Yes. If Helen is either unable or unwilling to care for the children, then you, Jenny, are thusly appointed.
A tear slides down Helen's face.
Finally, some reason. Thank you. God, why did you start with that? Can you imagine Helen raising three kids?
Larry nods softly toward Helen, who swallows hard.
When should I tell them?
Jenny turns.
As soon as possible.
Now at the table, Audrey, Sarah, and Henry gawk at Helen.
Are you sure? Yep.
Helen takes out a cigarette.
We all thought...
Nope. It's gonna be hard to take care of us if you're dead, too.
Helen points to the cigarette.
This?
Henry nods.
Won't kill me for years.
Who's gonna take me to school?
Helen snuffs the cigarette.
I guess I am.
And make me chicken fingers.
Me.
And give me a bath.
Me.
And check my nose boogies for infections.
We'll find someone else to do that last thing. Come here.
Helen takes their hands.
All we gotta do is stick together. Everything's gonna be okay.
Thanks for trying it, Helen. But it's not gonna be okay.
Audrey stands up.
Come on, Sarah. It's time for your bath. Come on, Henry.
Good idea. Great. You guys do that while Aunt Helen is gonna go out and check the lawn.
She grabs her cigarettes.
Is Aunt Helen older than you, Audrey?
Now upstairs, the kids watch through a window as Helen peers around the yard, then creeps into a thicket of shrubs and lights a cigarette.
Is she playing hide and go seek?
I don't think so.
We are in deep shit.
Now on a street outside, a pizzeria.
I love New York pizza.
And Helen, can we go to the Statue of Liberty tomorrow?
No, because we won't be here. Where's Henry?
He said he'd be right back. I go to the bathroom for 5 seconds and he's gone?
Henry stands at a hot dog cart.
I didn't want mustard.
You don't want mustard?
No.
All right, no mustard.
There he is.
Audrey points across the street.
Okay.
Henry?
Who's gonna pay for this?
Aunt Helen.
Aunt Helen.
You can't do that.
You can't. I hate pizza. I want a hot dog. Can you pay Aaron, please?
I'm Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. Like that he's making new friends.
Talk me up.
The next time you want something like a hot dog, you tell me, okay? And we'll all go together.
Okay.
Where are we going to dinner? This is dinner.
Gee, Mommy never let pizza be our full dinner.
And Dad always said not to eat and walk at the same time.
Well, they're not here to yell at us, so it doesn't matter.
How many beds do you have in your apartment, Aunt Helen?
Now Helen, Audrey, and Henry squeeze into one bed.
Stop. Audrey, your knee.
Stop.
Hey, guys. Shh. I'm telling you, if we don't go to sleep right now.
Helen tickles the kids.
Shut up! When the kids aren't going to sleep!
Where's Sarah? Sarah?
I'm right down here.
Under the covers.
Henry's feet stink. Pew!
But I'm a man.
Give Aunt Helen a whiff.
He waves his foot in front of her nose.
Ew, I can smell them from here.
Henry!
You need to wash your feet now.
Helen turns out the light.
Oh. Good night, all.
Morning.
Audrey, get out of the bathroom!
Henry knocks.
Fire, fire.
Audrey emerges, fixing her wavy blonde hair.
Helen, why are we going back? This was great. We should spend more time here.
Helen puts Lindsay's letter in a suitcase.
Yeah, we can move here.
Helen drops her gaze.
We can't sleep every night in a stinky feet bed.
We'll move to another apartment. It's a huge city. You'll be closer to your job and everything. You love your job.
What about Henry and Sarah?
What about them?
They've got school. They have friends. You guys grew up in that neighborhood.
That's why. It's a sad neighborhood now. Everywhere we go there, we think of Mom and Dad. The kids treat me differently.
We will discuss this later.
Please think about it, Aunt Helen.
Okay, we got a train to catch. Let's go. Henry, stop brushing your teeth. They're gonna fall out.
He keeps brushing. Later, outside.
I can't get Hippo in the bag. Oh,
give it to me.
Henry takes Sarah's stuffed hippo and violently shoves it into her pink backpack.
There! Kids, in the bag!
Are you happy now?
They load Henry. A taxi.
No, the only thing to do would be to tell Aunt Jenny.
Thinking about it, Audrey. I will think about it.
Tell her we voted.
At Jenny's, the adults stand apart while the kids dye Easter eggs.
I understand the children's feelings, but that's not part of the plan.
That's your plan, Jenny.
All right, well, what about the idea of not selling Lindsay's house?
I know you guys offered to pay the mortgage, but it's enormous.
I spoke to the bank, and a mortgage is too much for us.
All right. Besides being my idea, what's wrong with moving down the block? I mean, I think the calm of the familiar is better than the overwhelming hustle-bustle of the city. Guys, can you please keep the coloring on the eggs and not each other?
Oh, no.
Jenny, Sarah thinks that Hippo's parents are on vacation and that they're coming back. Henry walks around like a zombie and draws skeletons. Audrey's my only ally.
You really have to watch her.
Look, they're not happy, and they've told me themselves.
They're not going to be happy anywhere right now.
Okay, wait. Let us talk for a minute.
At the table, the kids dip eggs into cups of dye.
The Easter Bunny's not coming! The Easter Bunny joins 50 Cent!
Henry, why are you being a brat?
You're a brat!
Helen joins the kids.
Helen is right. The change might do them some good. And if it doesn't work out, they can always move back here to Jersey.
Jenny glances toward the table where Helen drops an egg into a cup and splashes dye.
Oh, no.
You're not very good at this, Aunt Helen.
Now, Helen circles apartment listings.
Stop it!
Ruin that video!
Henry chases Sarah with a turtle.
Stop it! Sarah, please. Okay, we have to find an apartment. Okay, we need to help Aunt Helen. By being quiet.
At the table, Audrey puts on lipstick. Henry flicks Irwin's shell. Helen looks up and clenches her jaw. Sarah pops her finger against the inside of her cheek.
Stop it.
The kids stare at her.
Stop.
Eyes wide, Helen cuts the air with her hands, then returns to her listings. The kids glare as she absently snaps the cap to her highlighter. Henry sets Irwin on the table, and Helen watches the turtle warily. Irwin charges at her. Helen leaps back from the table. Sarah gasps, and Audrey clutches her makeup bag to her chest. Henry smiles as he scans the room. Now an agent shows them listings on a computer.
Chelsea, no.
You know, I hear there's some pretty decent stuff in Queens.
Oh, no. We are not bridge and tunnel people. We are Manhattan people.
The agent pulls up another photo.
Oh, wow.
Four bedrooms, close to Central Park. The owner wants it rented quickly, so he's asking what is very reasonable for a New York apartment. Only $9,000 a month.
Helen raises her eyebrows and smiles stiffly. Now Helen and the kids step out of a subway station and cross the street, the New York skyline hazy in the distance. A sign reads, "Welcome to Queens." Storefronts offer cakes, pizza, and Chinese traditional herbs. Outside a large brick apartment building, people play dominoes on a folding table, and two old men play checkers. They glance up at Helen.
That's the girl looking at 4D.
Inside, Audrey spins Sarah around as Helen walks with a woman in a baggy sweater.
One bathroom, that's
Yeah, well, I'll put you on a waiting list if a two opens up, and look at this. Flower power, huh?
Garish wallpaper covers
so
the kitchen walls.
Audrey can have the back room, and Henry and Sarah can share the middle one, and I'll just sleep on a pull-out couch.
Wow, graffiti.
Henry looks out the window.
Plenty of room for a pull-out couch. Look, you got a nice view.
So, in the ad, it said something about a visual security system. How does that work?
Oh, when somebody buzzes, you stick your head out the window and you look down. That's the visual part. And then you yell for them to come up or not. That's the security part. Here's your keys. Welcome to the Astoria Arms. I am only available between 8:30 and 9 in the morning because I have a life.
Helen turns to the kids.
So...
She sets down her purse.
Home!
They embrace in a group hug. Now they drive over a bridge in a U-Haul. Later, Jenny and Ed help Helen unpack.
I ordered the pizza. She'll be here in 30 minutes.
Frowning, Jenny touches a window frame.
You know what? I bet this is lead paint. Guys. Don't chew on the windowsills, all right?
Yeah. Stick to the table legs like I taught you.
Okay, the kids smile.
Let's go sometime today into the bedroom.
This window is also painted shut.
You know, I mean, for $1,200 a month, you'd think you'd have windows that open.
In Sarah and Henry's room.
Look, for the 10th time in the old house, I had this bed and you had that bed.
And I want this bed.
That's it! Hippo goes out the window!
Followed by Irwin!
Guys!
Please. Give me back Irwin!
Stop fighting! Stop. He pinches her all the time and hard. It's hard.
Jenny hugs Helen.
Thank you.
Jenny gives her a quick smile and a nod.
So it's not that bad, right, Jen?
No.
A woman enters with a plate of food.
Hi, I'm Nilma Prasad. I live across the hall. Here's some samosas that we made for you.
Oh. So that would make you my neighbor?
This is my neighbor, my friendly neighbor, Jenny. Nilma, I'm Helen.
No, I'm
the landlady drops off a little boy.
Oh, Jenny. I snagged this one in the hallway screaming.
It's okay, Flora. Mr. Costello's deaf.
I'm not.
Nilma's son trots away.
So I see you have kids too, so maybe a play date sometime?
Oh!
Jenny runs toward them.
Goodness, that would be wonderful.
Jenny sends Helen away with the food.
I'm Jenny.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Yeah. Helen's sister. Can I ask you a special favor?
Yes.
Helen is new at being a mom.
Uh-oh.
Exactly.
These aren't her kids?
Our sister passed.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Bless her.
So, Nilma, if you could from time to time.
Oh, absolutely.
And if they...
Which they will, no?
You could...
No problem.
That's all I'm
okay,
asking.
Okay, say no more, please.
Holding a samosa, Helen glances at them, and they straighten.
Just mommy talk.
Helen nods.
So, Helen, where have you decided to send the kids to school?
Helen stares, open-mouthed, then scoffs and slaps the counter.
Got it covered.
Now Helen, Sarah, and Henry walk out through a school's graffiti-covered doors.
It's just a middle school, and you'll both have to be separated, three of you.
I know.
I vote against separation.
You know, maybe we should find a school with less policemen everywhere.
Audrey stands with teenaged boys.
Audrey? Hi. Let's go. Come on, guys. This cab's going to be about $100.
Oh, that girl is fine.
Hi. Yeah, she's pretty. Nice, Audrey. Thanks for making my life a lot easier.
They get into the cab, which passes a police car as it pulls away from the curb.
I don't like school anyway. I mean, I'll just drop out and get a job.
I like school. I want to go to school. I want to.
And Helen, you promised you'd find us a school.
Oh, God help me.
The taxi approaches a building marked St. Barbara's Lutheran School.
Slow down. Stop. That was fast. Kids...
Later, Helen and the kids approach the school.
Lisa, stop dragging your sweater.
A teacher leads a line of smiling children in red and gray uniforms, now in the school's chapel. A choir of boys and girls rehearses on a stage. Two men speak with their heads together in a row of pews. Helen and the kids enter. Sets Sarah down on a front pew, and Audrey and Henry sit with her. Helen walks hesitantly toward the two men, fidgeting with the sleeves of her sweater as the conductor energetically waves his arms. Helen swallows hard. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. One of the men walks away with a stack of papers. Standing in the aisle, Helen smiles awkwardly. The other man turns toward the choir, snapping his fingers, then spots Helen. She grins as he catches her eye. Dressed in a blazer and white cleric's collar, he offers a half smile, then strides toward Helen and shakes her hand. Now Helen and the kids sit with the man in an office with stained glass windows.
I mean, Lutheranism has been in our family for as long as Lutheran people have been around. Being a Lutheran is the greatest. I mean, right, kids?
Hippo wants to be a Lutheran, too.
Yeah. A hippo is a Lutheran.
The man pumps his fist.
I knew that God told us to move here so that we could attend your fine school. A good, solid education taught our Lutheran way is the best way. I mean, isn't that right, Father?
Pastor.
Father Pastor.
Pastor Parker.
Right.
She raises her eyebrows.
Thank you for that fine testimonial.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The kids smile sweetly.
Well, I'm just going to need the kids' transcripts and blood tests, and they're in.
Blood tests?
Make sure they're really Lutheran. Be surprised how many non-Lutherans try to sneak in.
Oh, I'm sure. Problem. They're all hemophiliacs. All three of them can't take blood. Shh. They're sensitive.
It's a joke.
Why would I joke about hemophilia?
There's no blood test. That's the joke.
Oh.
You don't have to be Lutheran to go here. It's Queens. Like 50 Lutheran kids in the whole neighborhood. Should we take a look around?
Outside.
So we have space available. Can you handle the tuition?
Not a problem.
Terrible!
Oh, yay!
The girls run off.
Henry, we have basketball courts, gym down there. St. Barbara's believes in basketball.
Oh, so what's the Lutheran take on the afterlife? Pretty much the standard heaven, hell, purgatory thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Old school around here.
Hey, so you want to go see the basketball courts?
No, I'm going to go play tetherball.
Oh, okay. Play hard.
Okay.
Pastor Dan.
A middle-aged woman waves.
Hello. Excuse me. Mrs. Fricker, I know what you got there.
I made you some special brownies.
Wow.
A woman and a little girl approach Helen.
He gets a lot of brownies.
I see that.
Mmm. Better than last time.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Shore.
Helen Harris.
This is my daughter, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Will you be joining us at St. Barbara's?
I hope so.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll see you Sunday.
Bye-bye. See you Sunday night at Vespers.
See you at Vespers.
See you at Vespers.
You know what Vespers is?
Helen smiles and shrugs.
Some kind of scooter?
Close enough.
He points at something in the distance and they walk off together. Now at Helen's apartment.
We got 10 minutes. You don't want to be late for your first day of school. Audrey, please get out of the bathroom.
I'm not in there.
Sarah sits inside.
Can't do it. I don't remember how.
She lets go of her shoelaces and pouts as Helen enters.
Sweetie.
I don't remember how.
What's the matter? Your shoes here, let me...
Helen reaches for
them. No, no!
Sarah, sweetheart, we have to go to school. Okay, let me help you.
No, no, that's not how. You don't know how.
Sweetheart, are you nervous about today? I mean, it's a big day at school.
Mom was teaching her how to tie her shoelaces just before.
Helen looks up at Henry. She smiles gently.
And I guess she had a special way of tying them.
Sarah nods tearfully.
Well, your mom and I were probably taught the same way.
Helen closes her eyes.
Let me think. Something about...
bunnies.
Bunnies. Right. Bunny ears.
She rests Sarah's foot on her knee.
We make 2 bunny ears.
Sarah smiles as Helen makes loops.
Bunny goes around the tree... into the burrow. Pull tight.
Yeah.
Sarah grins, her blue eyes still wet with tears, and hugs Helen. Now outside the school.
Hurry up, hurry up.
When will you be home from work?
By dinner time. Audrey's in charge, though, so listen to her, okay?
I don't want to listen to her.
Audrey shoves Henry.
Oh, Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan.
Well, it's the 4 Lutherans.
Here we are.
Here you are. Pastor Wells, would you please show Henry and Audrey to the homeroom?
Sure. Hello, Audrey.
Bye.
Pay attention. Sit up straight.
Morning.
Wait, what about lunch?
Eat it. It's healthy.
I meant we don't have any.
Oh! Hey, I'll take care of it.
Bye.
Audrey and Henry enter the school.
Can you break a 20?
Oh, you got change in a collection plate.
And kindergarten?
Right over here.
Now in a classroom.
Oh, wow, look, it's a juggling pastor, Sarah.
A teacher rises to greet them.
Oh, hello, welcome.
Welcome.
This is Lagambina.
Helen Harris.
This is Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Oh, look at all this fun stuff. You've got markers and crayons.
Pastor Dan looks on.
All the nice people. Hi. You're going to have such a good time.
We were all drawing our favorite animal.
Helen kisses Sarah and smooths her ponytailed hair.
Sarah, do you want some crayons?
Sarah reaches for a marker.
Oh, no, not those. Those are the teacher's markers.
Better put your sweater on. It's chilly outside.
Helen puts on a tiny pink-striped sweater, stops in front of Dan, then turns around.
Okay, that was... Hi. Sorry, Sarah.
She hands Sarah the sweater and grabs her own.
You could have just told me.
More fun this way.
He smirks as Helen leaves.
Hippo.
Everybody, meet Hippo.
Now Helen strides briskly into the agency.
All right. Enough. Come on, let's get started.
Helen walks into a meeting.
Hello.
Dominique hugs her.
I told you, I'd make it back.
Good. Sit down, sweetie. Who's that?
That's the intern.
Move over, intern. Caitlin, move.
Helen sits down.
Okay, good. Now, what about the Armani deal? Is that going to be completed in my lifetime?
Tom made it happen this morning, and you're all set for your trip to Miami.
Good. You're going to love it there.
Me?
Well, yes. You're back. I need you.
Oh, Dominique, I can't just pick up and leave for a week right now.
Why? Babies. All right, who wants to take this little mummy's place on a first-class trip to Miami?
Hands shoot up.
Caitlin, you're on. Helen will tell you what to bring. Don't wear any of those midriff-bearing outfits. It's so last year. And I want my luggage Federal Expressed ahead of time. Right, that's it. Lacey, who am I having lunch with today?
Caitlin grins. Vogue
or Elle?
Vogue at Cipriani.
Okay, good.
Dominique pats Helen on the shoulder.
Good to have you back, sweetie. We'll go over everything else at the fashion show tonight.
Tonight?
Helen frowns.
Unless, of course, you've got a brownie meeting or something.
Oh, no. I'll be there.
Good.
Dominique leaves, and Helen's smile fades as she sits alone at the table, writing in her date book. Now at the show, an angular blonde woman struts in carrying a chihuahua in a pink hat.
Hola. Hey, sweetheart, over here.
Hi.
Who's your date?
His name is Pate.
Big smile. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please take your seats.
Caitlin and the intern.
That's Martina, the supermodel, sitting next to Dominique. Who are the ladies on the out? Those are the agents we're trying to steal her from.
Dominique smiles at an agent.
Hello. You have a lovely agency.
She leans towards Martina.
We should have lunch.
Take the house lights out and go Q1.
Helen and the kids enter.
Kids, don't touch the runway lights.
They tiptoe down the darkened aisle and sit with Dominique.
Okay, hi.
Front row seats. What's all this?
Can you scooch down just a little bit more?
Look, don't these children live in Queens?
I know. I couldn't find anybody to watch them. But don't worry, you won't even know they're here. I'm here to work.
Dominique scowls.
Child's wearing pajamas.
Models sashay down the runway.
And Helen, I'm hungry.
Oh, you should have eaten your hamburger.
It had onions.
Helen hands Sarah to Audrey.
Okay, take care of her. I'll be right back. Keep an eye on
you. You're going?
Audrey plops her little sister on the bench and leans in toward Dominique.
Keep an eye on Sarah.
Audrey leaves. Dominique eyes Sarah warily, inching away. On the runway, models wear skimpy thongs under sheer skirts. Henry watches backstage.
Hey, partner. Working on your lingerie merit badge?
I'm a buyer from Victoria's Secret.
You're with Helen, and you should go back to your seat. Yeah, go for Teddy.
On the bench, Sarah tugs Dominique's sleeve.
Does my nose buggy look green?
Dominique peers in.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it does. Sort of Prada green, not their best collection. Put it back inside.
Sarah stuffs her finger into each nostril, then turns to the runway, where women wear lace underwear and men wear silk boxers. The woman with the chihuahua sits on the other side of the runway.
Ooh, look, a doggy!
Yes, well, watch the lovely doggy.
Dominique turns to Martina. Sarah climbs onto the runway.
Hello, doggy.
Dominique's jaw drops as she sees Sarah.
Oh!
Come here, doggy.
Avoiding Sarah, a model teeters on the runway and falls into the crowd. A man rushes to Sarah.
Are you all right? Model down. I repeat, we have a model down.
Helen runs in.
Sarah, what are you doing? Are you okay?
What happened?
Holding Sarah, Helen scans the room and smiles, waving Sarah's stuffed hippo. The audience applauds warmly as Helen dances with Sarah on the runway. Dominique shields her eyes with her hand. Now at the agency, Helen dashes into an office where Dominique sits with Martina.
All set. The limo's downstairs.
Martina,
welcome to our agency.
Thanks. I'm so excited.
It'll be effusive on the way in the limo. Go on, off you go.
Now in the limo.
So we should be to Coney Island in about an hour.
Helen pulls her phone from her purse.
Excuse me. This is Helen.
Hi, it's Dan.
What's wrong?
Sarah sits crying on a table, shoes untied.
We have a little situation with Sarah down here. I think you should come to school.
Come there now?
Martina glances over.
It's a little difficult to get to school right now. I'm working. Is she okay? Helen.
Martina holds out her hand.
Give me the phone. Yeah, hi. We'll be right there.
The women share a smile.
Are you sure?
No problem.
Thank you. We have plenty
of time to talk. I know how it is. I have a 4-year-old.
The limo U-turns. Now in the classroom, Helen sits with Sarah.
Then I couldn't find the burrow for the bunny.
I hate it when that happens.
Me too.
You guys want to do my makeup?
Yeah. Nearby, Martina dumps her makeup on a table.
Can I be a princess?
She dons a feathery tiara.
Okay. Sarah, you don't have to learn to tie your shoes right now. When you're ready to tie your shoes, you will.
That's right. Shoe tying's tough. Why do you think Jesus wore sandals?
Behind Helen, girls paint Martina's face.
See ya.
Thanks, Pastor Dan.
Do I look pretty?
Reaching for makeup, a girl picks up a marker.
So you want to go play?
Sarah nods. Helen swivels around to look at Martina, and her smile fades as the girls scribble on her face with markers.
Stop!
Martina opens her green eyes wide, and the teacher gapes.
Are those permanent? It's okay. It happens to me all the time. It'll come off in a couple days.
Helen moves her mouth wordlessly and shuts her eyes. Now Dominique stares sternly at Helen.
Sorry, Helen.
She shakes her head.
It's not working.
Helen's gaze wavers, and she nods gently.
I understand.
Dominique looks down. Helen tenses her shoulders.
I'm sorry, Dominique. Thank you so much for everything.
Helen musters a thin smile.
I'll collect my thing.
Helen leaves. Dominique leans on her desk, cradling her chin in her hand. Outside the apartment, one old man plays the saxophone while the other dances.
Hey, stop that racket!
Inside, Helen eats popcorn.
Are you all right, Aunt Helen? You've been watching reruns all day.
Reruns are the culture of the unemployed.
On TV, Al Bundy holds a sign. We'll stop singing for 25 cents.
Hi, I'll get it. I have no life.
The kids eat Chinese takeout as she sets down her popcorn and shuffles toward the door. Through the peephole, Pastor Dan smiles wryly.
Gibugay.
Helen gapes.
It's the exorcist.
The kids get up. Helen lets down her ponytail and runs her hands through her blonde curls. She flicks a piece of popcorn off her sweater and opens the door.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry about Martina. So I brought you comfort food. Chunky monkey.
Helen grabs the bag.
Would you like to come in?
Pastor Dan.
Hey, kids.
Dan steps inside.
How do you get past the visual security system?
Who cares? Now we can watch MTV.
In the kitchen.
It's funny how one moment I'm living my life, not really in touch with the fact that I'm sharing this planet with permanent pins.
Dan taps Erwin's bowl, then pokes the limp turtle.
Shall we say, an indelible impact on my career.
Hey,
a black mark on my record.
She stabs at the ice cream with a spoon.
In short, my career is dead.
Like your turtle.
Helen turns toward him.
What?
Turtle's dead.
Oh, no.
Dan makes the sign of the cross over Erwin's bowl.
No.
May he rest in peace.
Oh, shut up. You don't understand. This is Henry's turtle. It's his friend. He can't be dead.
Oh, he's dead.
We need to find a body double now.
She dumps fortune cookies out of a Chinese food carton and shakes it at Pastor Dan.
Here.
She winces as Dan puts Erwin in the box.
What about the empty bowl?
I'll hide it.
Helen slides the turtle bowl into the oven.
Kids! We're gonna go get butterscotch and chocolate syrup for the ice cream.
kitchen. I just waxed the floors.
Now outside, a turtle squirms in the carton.
Erwin's long-lost brother.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this. You're my savior.
Huh.
I mean...
I know what you mean. So how are things going?
Fine.
Hmm?
Fine.
Just fine?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, it's just that I've noticed Audrey spending too much time with the boys. You know, and that's normal for what she's going through. You know, look for that attention, but some of these kids are not exactly angels, you know what I mean?
They're 15. It's teenage stuff, it's harmless.
No, it's not really harmless, because one of these punks, his name's BZ, I'm about to kick his butt out of school.
Let's just get upstairs before Henry finds the bowl.
Yeah, Henry, you said the kid likes basketball. He never, ever picks up a ball.
I know, I've noticed that.
They reach Helen's building.
Thing with Sarah and the shoes the other day, that's not the first time.
Hey, what do you expect? Dan, they've lost their parents, they've moved to a new city, changed schools, changed religions.
Well, let's talk about some things you could do at home.
Helen points at Dan.
You want to know what I've been doing at home? I've been doing the best I can. Do you have any idea what this has done to my life?
Hey, Helen, do you have any idea what it's done to theirs?
She sets her jaw and glares at him.
Hey, Pastor Dan, Mr. Self-Righteous, I'm hanging on by a thread here. I lost my sister, my social life, my disposable income, my ability to fit into a size 2, and this just in my job. Pretty much the only two things that haven't disappeared are my nicotine fits and the few pounds that have recently taken up residence on my ass. So forgive me if I'm not too thrilled about being lectured in Queens about being a lousy legal guardian to 3 kids who maybe shouldn't have been given to me in the first place.
Well, they weren't given to you. They were entrusted to you by their mother, who...
Don't you talk about Lindsay! Don't you dare talk about Lindsay! You didn't know her! Give me the turtle.
That was out of line. I'm sorry.
Dan, give me the damn turtle!
She reaches for the carton.
Helen.
He gives her the turtle, and
Helen.
She turns away from him.
Hey, Helen.
Helen strides across the foyer and rounds a corner. Dan walks toward the door, looks back with pursed lips, then leaves. Her back against a wall, Helen clutches at the carton, shaking her head and breathing heavily. She wipes her eyes and tucks her wavy hair behind her ears. Straightening, she swallows hard and continues down the hall. Now, Helen sits in an office with a woman who glances down at a sheet of paper.
Dominique's is quite an impressive background. But 3 children?
They are great kids.
Now another agency.
We love children. We're thinking about adopting.
But there'd be a lot of traveling involved and very little notice.
Oh, I love traveling. But would they be long trips?
Another agency.
But I'm not on the mommy track.
The interviewer points to her neck. Helen touches her neck, then winces as she peels off a Muppet sticker.
We'll be in touch.
Later, outside her apartment building, Helen trudges up the front walkway and pushes open the door. Inside, Henry peers into the turtle bowl.
Erwin, you're not looking yourself.
Audrey breezes in.
Okay, Sarah's asleep. Go to bed now and make sure if she needs anything, you can get it for her.
Henry holds out his hand. Audrey reaches inside her black lace midriff top and hands him a $5 bill, which he examines carefully.
I see no party. There is no party.
That's right.
Now Helen steps off the elevator. She peers around, then walks quickly toward her apartment, frowning as she unlocks the door. Inside, a boy drinks from 2 cans at once. Another boy falls backwards off a chair, landing at Helen's feet. On the couch, Audrey's eyes widen as she holds a lit cigarette.
Yeah, hi!
Helen crosses the room and turns down the stereo.
Hey, everyone, this is my Aunt Helen.
She don't look like no aunt I ever had.
Helen snatches Audrey's cigarette.
What is this? I thought you wanted to meet my friends.
This is Beezy. He's a DJ. This is his mix.
What's up, Mommy?
Helen narrows her eyes.
What's up?
Well, you got a fat crib.
Audrey shoots Helen a look.
Thank you. There's my phone ringing in my fat crib.
Helen leaves the room and Audrey giggles as she turns up the music. In the kitchen, Helen lights a cigarette and answers the phone.
Hello?
I'm calling. calling to remind you to come over for Mother's Day.
Jenny, do you think that's still such a good idea? I mean, I don't know if the kids are...
It'll be fine.
And we're still gonna do the letter thing?
Sure, I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
What's that noise?
Audrey has company.
On a school night? You better make them leave.
Helen squeezes her eyes shut.
What do I say?
You say, go home.
Okay, but what if they ask why?
You say, because I said so.
In the living room, a boy breakdances on the floor.
Hi, can we turn the music down? Hey, guys, let's turn the music down a little bit.
Audrey's jaw drops.
Thank you. This crib is closing, and I think it's time for all y'all to go.
Why?
BZ stares at Helen.
Because I said so.
Audrey glowers.
I tell you what, we'll be gone before you know it.
He wraps his arms around Yaka. Audrey's bare midriff and pulls her away. Now, in the kitchen.
Jenny, I don't know if they're quite ready to go home just yet.
Helen, get Nilma now.
At Nilma's door.
Okay, I'm ready.
She wields a baseball bat.
Shut up!
She bursts into Helen's living room. She whacks the sofa with her bat. Audrey and her friends gape.
You, what do you think this is? Hey, and you, falling asleep, you get out!
A boy skateboards toward the elevator.
Hey, you, you're not a slumber party, get out!
She yanks a guy from a chair, then raises her bat at BZ.
Don't eat, you get out of here! I said get out!
Chill out, Miss Rambo.
Helen lowers her eyes as BZ saunters toward Audrey, his pants sagging below his boxers.
BZ, let's get out of here.
Great party.
Baggy pant, little diaper boy, go home to mama.
Helen flinches as Nilma chases BZ. Audrey sits on the coffee table, her shoulders tense. In the elevator, BZ waggles his tongue at Wilma as the door closes and she hits the door.
Boy!
She smiles sweetly.
Good night, Helen.
Inside.
What is the matter with you?
Audrey glares at Helen.
Don't you remember what it's like to be young?
Breathing hard, she marches toward her bedroom.
Of course I remember. It was last Wednesday.
Later, Helen climbs into bed and pulls the cover over herself. Turning onto her side, she peers into the turtle's bowl.
Hi.
The turtle presses its feet against the glass.
Can I ask you a question? What was Lindsay thinking?
The turtle stretches its neck. Helen studies it for a moment, then switches off the light. Now Nilma and Helen carry laundry by the elevator.
So listen, don't worry about it. You know, they'll appreciate it when they're older.
I know, I just hate being hated.
I love it.
I don't have that
relationship. You do.
You know, you can tell me all your problems, really. I'm a solver. I once got an axle grease stain out of silk.
Okay, solver. Can you find me a job close to home with decent pay? And a dental plan for the cavity triplets.
My husband, Ravi.
Now Helen wears a fitted black suit as she strides toward a car lot labeled Massey Motors. She approaches a salesman.
Do you know where I can find a Ravi Prasad?
Yeah, he's inside.
Now with Ravi.
You see, we're like one big family here. Now the owner, Mr. Massey, nice guy, very fair, but he's picky about who he hires. Hey, Ralphie, any takers on that lime green, baby?
You wise guy.
I still got $5 says you'll sell it, Ralphie.
You're on.
We got stuck with this lime green Lincoln. Been here for months. Mr. Massey's offering a ham to the first person who can sell it.
A ham?
Oh, yeah. Guys are big on free meats around here. Now, listen. Mr. Massey's a little nervous. He acted in his first on-camera TV commercial today.
On a TV?
Hey, see me. Mickey Massey, a name you can trust. Yeah, I forgot the point. You want a deal on a previously owned car? Well, the company... Charlie!
Massey, a bearded man in his 60s, stares glumly at the TV.
Commercial. You want
he squirts breath spray into his mouth.
Then come to Massey Motors.
Ravi opens the door for Helen.
Thank you.
Yeah, pointed the wrong way again.
Well, come
hi.
To Massey
Motors. Hi, sit. I'll be with you in a second. Just
Mickey Massey, to give you the best deal in town. Remember... Massey means trust.
He turns off the TV and stares intently at Helen.
What'd you think of that?
I believe it.
Don't. Massey doesn't mean trust. It means hillside in French.
I can't do dishonest.
He turns to his telephone.
Ravi, we're reshooting that commercial. Honest. We need an honest commercial, Ravi, right?
Massey scans Helen's resume.
I'm sorry, Ms. Helen Harris.
Yes.
Okay. How long did you work as a secretary?
Actually, I wasn't a secretary. As it states right there, I was an executive assistant to Dominique Corrier, and I had a promise of promotion to agent.
Okay. You seem like a nice girl, Helen. And you're a friend of Ravi and Nilma's. All right, we're looking for a receptionist. The pay is $17.50 an hour. The hours are 9 to 5. So how does that suit you?
I always thought I could have a career in used cars one day.
We don't sell used cars. Previously owned or prior owned cars.
Prior owned.
Now I just have to pass one little test, okay?
He hands her a paper, then squirts breath spray into his mouth. Now Helen clicks on an intercom in the showroom.
Ravi to parts. Ravi to parts.
Massey, Ravi, and Ralphie observe, frowning.
Ravi to parts. Ravi to parts.
Massey nods.
Ralphie to the showroom. Ralphie to the showroom.
The three men exchange approving nods and smiles. Helen breaks into a grin.
Yeah?
Lifting her eyebrows, she turns on the intercom.
Helen to payroll.
Now Helen exits a crowded subway bearing the sign 61st Street Woodside Station. Wearing a short black trench coat belted around her trim waist, she strides down the street and greets a newsstand clerk.
Hello.
As she shops, Helen's mouth falls open. Tinka's on the cover of Elle magazine. Next to the headline, Tinka takes the runway. Helen grabs the magazine and jumps up and down.
She made the cover. I know this girl. I know her. She looks beautiful.
So how many copies do you want?
Glancing from the magazine to the clerk, her smile softens.
None.
Helen shakes her head, then slides the magazine back into the rack and straightens it. Now at Jenny's house, her kids run across the lawn with their dog and wave to their dad's approaching pickup truck. Ed pulls into the driveway with Lindsay's kids and Helen. Later, Jenny, clad in a pink jumper, ushers her family into the house.
Oh, good. Get your hands washed, guys. Hey, you look.
Jenny squishes Henry's ruddy cheeks.
Oh, sweetie. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
You. And Jenny.
Audrey hugs Jenny.
Oh, guys. Everybody, please sit down. All right, we're going to eat right away.
Jenny picks up a wrap plate with one samosa on it.
Did you remember to bring your letter? Oh, of course I did. Mm-hmm.
Helen pulls out her letter.
Not until you show me yours.
Well, why don't we just do it after dinner?
The dog scampers over and Jenny stops in Helen's path.
Stay!
Helen hesitates, then follows Jenny into the kitchen.
What happened with the train? Was there a delay?
No. Audrey was making samosas at Nilma, so we caught the next train.
Mm-hmm. Just one?
Well, they were hungry, so they ate them on the way.
Helen's smile fades. Jenny bustles around.
Can I help you with something, Jenny?
You know what? I've got everything organized.
She grabs butter from the fridge.
Ooh.
She talks to her belly.
Sweetie, what did Mommy say about kicking when she's having a conversation? You need to wait until she's finished. Thank you very much.
Did you just boss around the unborn?
It's never too early to start learning manners.
She carries a rack of lamb.
Okay, kids, we're ready.
Her kids open the dining room doors.
Whoa!
The family watches Jenny carry the lamb to the table. Later, Helen tastes her wine, then grimaces at it.
Yeah! Oliver, did you wash your hands?
Yes.
Everything tastes great, honey. You shouldn't have had to cook on Mother's Day.
You know, I don't mind. Being a mom is the greatest job on earth. I know your mom felt that way.
Helen shakes her head.
Jenny.
What? We all love her. We miss her. We can mention her. Can't we?
I don't like to.
Me neither.
Audrey aims a somber glance at Jenny.
You know, would you kids like to talk about what you've been reading?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Stuff by Shank 54.
Huh. That sounds interesting. Who's that?
He writes poems. On the side of our building. It was spray painted 4 in the morning. Sometimes I help when I can't sleep because Aunt Helen's on a date, or Audrey's on the internet talking dirty, or Sarah's crying because we forgot to feed her again.
Henry? What?
Teary-eyed, Jenny stalks into the kitchen.
Jenny, no. Henry, what are you talking about? Is this some kind of joke? I don't know why you keep saying things like this. It's not funny.
Helen storms out.
I thought it was funny.
Thank you.
In the kitchen.
Henry was making all of that up, Jenny.
Jenny reads Helen's letter.
Jenny, what are you doing?
When a problem comes along,
give
you
me
must
my
whip
letter.
It before the cream sits out to... You must...
Jenny, give me my
That's
letter.
That's it? That's all she left behind to explain why she chose you? The lyrics to Whip It?
It makes sense to me.
What is it with you two and that song? It's ridiculous. I don't get it.
Exactly.
What are you saying? That's the point? That I'm no fun? That I don't get things? That I never make jokes?
Show me your letter.
No.
No? No? What do you mean no? We said you would read my letter and I would read yours.
This is not a letter. These are lyrics, nonsensical lyrics. This is not a letter. If this was a letter, you could read my letter, but this is not a letter.
The family listens.
Not a letter? What? You are a smug, bitter, colossal bitch.
The dog perks up, okay, and Ed picks
guys,
it up.
I think this is a good time to take Origami for a walk.
No, we'll miss the fight.
If you're finished, I think I'd like to serve dessert.
You don't want to help me. You just want to judge me. Let's all go into the living room and listen to Jasmine play the piano with one arm. You just want to prove that you're a better mother than me and that Lindsay was wrong.
Why would I need to prove that? Of course I'm a better mother than you. I've been doing it forever. But does that matter? No, she still chose you over me.
Exactly. She chose, Jenny. Not me. I had no control over it. You're angry with me because of a decision that she made for me.
In the living room.
I am giving up everything for these kids, and you have no idea what that's like.
I don't know what it's like. How do you think I got this way? Whatever this way is, it's so particularly unfun and funny. Who changed your diapers?
Oh, don't start with that. Mom died when I was 7.
Who fed you? Who babysat you?
Lindsay was there too.
Lindsay was in New York trying to be a dancer, and I was at home not having a normal childhood because I was too busy being your mommy and your tra-la-la Helen. So free. Miss Party Party all night long, and I never, ever got to feel like that, ever. Not once.
She sits and rubs her forehead. Sighing, Helen leans on a table.
I don't want to fight anymore.
Jenny hangs her head, her blonde bob falling over her face. Helen snatches her letter.
Happy Mother's Day.
Her jaw tight, Helen shoulders her purse and walks out. Now Helen and the kids watch a St. Barbara's basketball game. On the court, a player knocks down an opponent.
42! Foul!
Flagrant!
Audrey sits with BZ.
Maybe I can come see you DJ sometime.
I don't know, Miss Audrey. I'm not spending no kids' birthday parties, you know? You got a fake ID?
Of course.
Nearby, Helen watches them.
Nurse Wilson says he's okay.
The fallen player gets to his feet.
When's Henry gonna play in, Helen?
Hey, coach! This isn't the NBA Finals. What happens to everybody plays? Why don't you put Henry in?
Henry hides his face with a towel.
2-1, and St. Barbara's win.
Helen steps down and meets the coach.
Excuse me. Yes?
Hi. Excuse me. What is your problem?
Yeah,
he could be, I know, he could be one of your best players.
He doesn't want to play, so you need to square that away with him.
Helen shrugs.
You're the coach.
Just forget about it. I'm going to go change.
Now Helen sits outside with Pastor Dan.
I'm sorry that I yelled at you, Dan, but I've been battling with the kids, and I'm fighting with my sister, and we're too stubborn to talk to each other. And I guess I'm just edgy.
Hey, nobody ever said it was going to be easy, right?
Yeah, try doing it on your own.
We got a lot of people around here who do. Matt Higgins' mom, she took a pay cut. She works out of her house. And Tommy Meyer's dad is with kids all day long. Then he works at night. I mean, it's tough, but it can be done. Hey, you know what you need?
A nanny, but I can't afford one.
Huh. You need some fun. I'm just a man to provide it. What are you doing on Sunday?
Going to church, of course.
Yeah, right. Nice try. You and the kids. Sunday afternoon.
What do you have in mind?
Now, a TV reporter.
Today we're at the Central Park Zoo, where every spring a prayer is said, blessing the animals and the newborn babies. Pastor?
Dear Lord, we humbly ask that you bless these animals and all your creatures throughout the world. Blessed are you, Lord. Amen.
Henry claps, and Audrey shoots him a sharp look.
Okay, who wants a private tour of the zoo, huh? Yeah!
In a montage, they tour the zoo. Someone tells me it's all happening at the zoo. The kids feed goats.
I do believe it. I do believe it's true.
Sarah holds a bunny. Henry looks at turtles on a log. His sisters jump out of a hiding place and scare him. Dan snaps photos as Helen gives Henry a playful noogie. And Audrey chats with a hunky male tour guide.
It's a light and tumble journey from the east side to the park. Just a fine fancy ramble to the zoo.
Henry takes a photo of Helen, Dan, and the girls posing with rabbit statues. Then Sarah slides down a turtle statue. Later, the tour guide hands the kids colorful plastic cups. Dan gazes wistfully at Helen, and she smiles back.
Something tells me it's all happening at the zoo.
Later.
We had a really great time.
I did too. I'm glad you guys came.
Thanks again, Pastor Dan.
Sure.
Henry steals Sarah's cup.
Hey! Thank you, Pastor Dan. Love to see Lance.
Henry, give that back to her.
Don't do that.
Audrey and Sarah try to grab back the cup.
He is so bad sometimes.
They're cute, though. Listen, I'm not very good at this, so I'm just going to ask. You want to go out with me sometime?
What?
You and me on a date.
Oh, no. I made you abandon your vows? Oh, I know you think that I'm probably worth it, and I'm not. Go back to God. I can't be responsible for this.
Hey, Helen, I'm a pastor. I'm a Lutheran minister. I can date. I get married, have kids, watch dirty movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, I can't watch dirty movies, but we're pushing for it. So, you know. What do you say?
I'm really flattered, Dan, but I can't. I'm sorry. I had a great day, though, today.
With a perplexed frown, Helen walks to the kids waiting on the front steps.
Okay.
Pastor Dan just asked me out.
That is so weird.
I can hear you. I'm still right here. Okay, go inside and do that.
Shaking his head, he steps away.
Yeah, way to go, Pastor Dan.
Now a stilt walker dances in the Massey Motors parking lot in the showroom.
That guy on stilts was a great gimmick. It beats balloons and bunting.
Thank you so much. But,
there are a couple of customers wandering outside. Focus the wanderers.
Sales associate to the parking lot, please. Sales associate to the parking lot.
Outside, the stilt walker leers at a female customer.
Sales associate?
Leo, the guy on stilts is looking down my shirt.
Inside, Helen leaves her desk and removes her gum. Outside.
Hey, Mini-Me!
Watch I don't break your kneecaps.
Think you can reach them? Hi, Helen Harris. Welcome to Massey Motors.
Leo DeLeo.
Pleasure.
And that's Renee DiCarlo.
Hi, Renee.
Hi.
All right, Leo. Let's see if we can find you something you like. Follow me.
Renee lags behind.
You know, I bought a lot of used cars,
but... previously owned. We got a nice silver Volvo over there. It's a great family car. I mean, if you have family.
Just a rich bachelor.
That's what I thought. You don't want this one. Oh, wow.
The green Lincoln.
Oh, I forgot we had this baby.
I think I know why. It looks like a jukebox.
Oh, only a handful of these were made. Earmarked for special customers only. Like in the old days when guys like Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra used to special order their cars right from the factory.
Leo removes his orange sunglasses.
You're kidding.
Sir, three things we don't joke about. Elvis, Sinatra, and Lincolns. But like I said, for special customers only.
Honey,
I own every hot dog stand in Rockaway. Not the beach, but still, I can afford to pay well over sticker for this, and cash.
Inside, Massey screens his commercial.
It's getting a little windy. You sure it's all right?
Yeah, it's OK.
OK, you sure? You want a deal on a previously owned car? Then come to Massey Motors, where you can see me, Mickey Massey. It's
on TV, his toupee flies off.
Mickey, you're not going to believe it. She sold it.
Massey, Ravi, and Ralphie dash to a window and see Helen wave to the Lincoln as it drives away. Massey takes a squirt of breath spray.
She gets a ham.
Helen waves her arms and jumps.
Yes, I did.
Now at home.
Yes, I'm home.
Okay.
Do we have mustard?
I don't know. Why?
Because we got ham.
She shows them a big ham.
I stole the car.
Oh,
she tosses the ham across the kid's bedroom. Henry catches it, then she tackles him to the floor and tickles him. From a bed, Sarah gazes solemnly at them, then turns away. Helen notices Sarah and stops. She sits down on the bed.
Okay. Hey. What's up?
Hippo's mommy and daddy are still on vacation.
Slowly, Helen looks over her shoulder at Audrey and Henry. Audrey picks up the ham. Hmm.
We're gonna go slice the ham. I'm the man. I should slice the ham.
You're no man.
They've been gone a long time.
That's because they went really far away.
Where did they go?
Sarah fiddles with a ribbon tied around Hippo's neck.
Honey? Sarah, where did they go?
Heaven.
Helen wrinkles her brow, then smiles.
That's right, sweetie. That's right.
And now there's no one to give him a birthday party.
When's Hippo's birthday?
Now.
Now?
In a fancy restaurant.
Say, Hippo!
Hippo!
The maitre d' snaps a photo of Helen and the kids.
It's a keeper.
Oh, great.
Vince, thanks again for doing this on such short notice.
Sure hanging out with a new crowd these days.
Yeah, well, tonight is a very special night. You see, it's Hippo's...
Ooh, excuse me. The VIPs, excuse me.
Audrey scowls as Vince crosses the room to greet Devin and two slender women.
Vince.
Hey, Vince. We're here to celebrate. Devin here just got the new polo campaign. Yeah, he's the Ralph Lauren underwear guy.
Congratulations.
Helen watches.
Hey, Devin. Congrats.
Are you ready for your dessert?
Yes, please.
Can I get you coffee or tea?
Oh, can I get a cappuccino, please? Decaf. And I'll have a real one.
Okay.
And I'll have a Singapore sling.
Sarah arches an eyebrow.
Hey, Jerome.
Helen follows the waiter.
Hi. Do you think you could sing Happy Birthday?
Who's a birthday kid?
Actually, it's Hippo's birthday.
You want me to sing to a hippo?
Yeah.
I'll take care of it.
Thank you.
At the table, Henry draws skulls and crossbones.
All right. What do we got? Ooh,
another
skulls.
Another round of double cherry. Shirley Temple.
Oh, no. At 12:50 a pop? I don't think so.
Vince serves them the drinks.
Compliments of the gentleman right over there.
From across the room, Devin smiles suavely at Helen and raises his cosmopolitan. Meeting his eyes, Helen smiles and mouths, thank you. Watching them, Audrey flips Devin a girlish wave.
Okay, here we go.
Jerome serves a slice of cake with a candle.
For the hippo.
Yeah. Happy pudapunk. Happy pudapunk. Happy birthday to you. Oh, yeah, happy birthday to you. Hippo. Happy birthday to you.
Yay! The restaurant patrons clap.
Blow the candle.
Sarah blows it out. Now Helen hurries out of the apartment building.
Wait!
Everybody,
no.
Get in the car!
Wait, I forgot the money for their lunch.
No, I packed lunch.
Hey, well, if they want to buy a book or something.
You relax. You're a free woman. Go on, have fun. We should be back at 5 o'clock in the museum.
Okay.
The two old men look on.
Hi, Helen. You want to play some dominoes with me and Artie over sandwiches?
Oh, no, I got so much I have to do. Thank you.
Oh, well, maybe another time.
Artie plays his saxophone. Helen throws up her hands. Slyly, she raises her eyebrows, then strides off. Now at St. Barbara's, Dan packs a duffel bag in his office. Helen approaches, then turns back. Dan spots her leaving.
Helen!
Hey!
She whips around and falls.
Oh, I'm fine.
She gets up.
I was just,
Just trying to see if you had the nerve to drop in on me after you gave me to Heisman?
What?
Heisman? Oh, back off!
He makes a blocking gesture.
I know, but are you free?
What?
Are you free?
No, actually, I'm not. Got a lunch date.
Helen purses her lips.
You can come with me, though.
She smiles. Y'all ready for this? Now, as two teams play hockey on an ice rink, a goalie shoves an opposing player.
Pastor Dan, the holy goalie, just checked Father Rodriguez.
A scoreboard with team names reads Holy Hitters, Lord's Horde, Bad Habits, and Red Hook Rabbis. Dan waves to Helen in the stands.
We have a guest referee with us today, ladies and gentlemen. He's a 10-year veteran of the Icecapades, Mr. Scotty Buttons.
A teammate taps one of Dan's goalie pads.
We got your back.
He joins a face-off.
Score is still 6-6.
The referee twirls, then drops a puck between two opposing players. The player from Dan's team, the Holy Hitters, slides the puck across the ice, then passes it among several teammates. One of them shoots the puck into the goal.
Goal by Rabbi Levine.
Dan raises his arms and his teammates dance in a line. Up in the stands, Helen laughs. Yeah!
Join us next week when the clergy of the cloth take on the Stormin' Mormons.
Now in Helen's building.
Literally four people living in a shoebox apartment because they couldn't pay the rent. It's so expensive. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They reach her door.
Thank you. I had a really wonderful time.
As Dan leans in to kiss her, Helen frowns and draws back. Dan smiles tightly.
I'm sorry. It's a little weird, don't you think?
What, because I'm a pastor?
Helen nods.
Well, you know, I usually get the freaky women who are turned on by it or the guilt-ridden ones who can't get over it. You don't think I'm sexy?
Oh.
Because I'm not a
party, I didn't say that.
Hopping club kind of guy.
Oh, stop it.
Let me tell you something. I got news for you, little lady. I'm sexy. Yeah. I'm a sexy man of God, and I know it.
They share a lingering look, then Dan steps away. Helen pinches her pale brow.
Hold it.
He turns back.
Now that was kind of sexy.
She narrows her eyes seductively, her gaze locked on Dan. Smiling, he drops his duffel bag and comes to her. Gently, Helen pulls his face close, and their lips meet in soft, passionate kisses. They wrap their arms around each other. Henry and Audrey open the door.
No, Mom? Have you met the principal of our school?
Hi.
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 I gotta go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Helen fidgets as Dan leaves.
So, we're all getting A's.
Yeah! Helen shoos them away as she comes in. Now Dan gives Helen a piggyback ride across the street. They share bites from one apple. Now at the ice rink. Helen skates a circle around Dan, then glides up to him. Planting her hands on her hips, she gazes into his eyes. Now Audrey sits outside the school chapel, rolling her eyes. Inside, Helen watches Dan fix an organ.
It's really not that big of a deal, Dan.
Hey, she was caught making out with BZ.
Okay, not so good.
While cutting class?
Also not so good.
In a balcony of my church?
How can I come down on her for something we were caught doing a few days ago?
Because you're the adult and she's the child. She's got to know you're serious. Kids need boundaries. You know that.
Now Helen and Audrey walk outside.
Okay, Helen, it's a big deal that a senior asked me to the prom. I mean, what do you want me to do? Find another senior?
Yes. Audrey, I want to treat you like an adult, but I do not want you to go to the prom with BZ. If you go with him, I'll be very disappointed.
Audrey draws a deep breath, then nods.
Okay.
So, will you help me find a dress?
Yes, I'll find you a dress.
Okay.
In the balcony of the church?
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
You are so going to hell.
Hey!
In the gym.
Spider!
Henry's coach leads his team through drills.
Yay, cradle!
Helen watches as they catch the ball between their legs. Henry fumbles with his ball.
Shoot!
They all shoot baskets. Henry takes a weak throw.
Okay, hit the showers!
The other kids head out.
Henry, pick up the balls.
Helen puts on a bright face and comes over.
Hey! Give me one of those. Come on!
Henry throws her a ball and Helen gets a basket.
Let's go.
She bounces him the ball.
Take a shot. Come on, you gotta get fired up for your game.
I am. Can't you tell? Yahoo.
Oh, Henry.
Helen walks up to him.
Okay, Henry.
She takes him by the hands.
Let's talk. You used to love to play sports. Sit down.
They sit cross-legged on the basketball court.
You and your dad used to play basketball till it was too dark to even see the hoop.
Even when I missed, he'd always count it. He called it give me the benefit of the dark.
Helen laughs. Henry fights back a smile.
It's okay to smile about it.
No, it's not.
And it's okay to play sports.
No.
Henry stands.
Why?
Because he can't play anymore. Because everyone kept saying Mom and Dad are up in heaven and they're looking down on us always. Well, if he is, I'm not going to make him feel bad about not playing.
Like if you're having a good time without him, you're rubbing it in?
Yeah.
Henry. The only thing sadder than them not being here is knowing that by not being here, you're not doing what you love. They want you to be happy.
Then it's like I'm just forgetting them.
No, it's not. No. Because every time you smile, or laugh, or enjoy your life, it makes their dreams come true. Besides, if they are looking down, you really want them to be stuck watching a lousy game.
No, my dad hates a lousy game.
A little smile brightens Henry's face. Beaming, Helen gives him a knowing look and cocks her head. She dashes across the court, grabs a basketball, and bounces it to Henry. He dribbles, then shoots and makes a basket.
Yeah.
Now, at home.
Yes, I am the senior class treasurer. And I just, I wanted to say that I'm very honored to be taking Audrey to my prom tonight. I want you to know that.
Thank you. Breathe.
Hey, take a look. I got a wig on.
Henry tugs on his hair.
I'm gonna come out now.
Audrey wears a pink strapless dress with a matching wrap.
How do I look?
Helen stands and gives her a bittersweet gaze.
You look just like your...
They trade smiles. Audrey's date hands her a wrist corsage.
Thank you, Peter.
She slides it on.
Okay, we're gonna go. Wait. We have to have a picture. Okay, get closer. Smile.
Audrey takes Peter's arm and smiles. Now, at the prom.
All right, welcome to the senior prom, Bridges of Friendship. Coming up next, Lady's Choice.
There's actually some punch in the vodka.
Guys, your choice later.
Now at Helen's apartment.
Who is it?
Prom King.
Dan enters dressed in a tuxedo and carrying a corsage.
Hey, I thought we could have our own little prom. Where's the little kids at?
They're sleeping. Doesn't the principal have to police the prom?
Don't worry, La Gambina's looking out for Audrey.
Dan uncorks champagne and plays a CD.
What is this?
With a smooth smile, he strolls up to Helen.
Down here the river meets the sea.
He takes Helen's hand and sweeps her into a slow dance. Swaying in his arms, Helen grins.
And in the sticky heat I feel you open up to me.
Growing serious, Helen caresses his arm. As they dance, Dan kisses her lightly.
Love comes out of nowhere, babe.
Their lips graze in a tender kiss. Then Helen pulls back and rolls her eyes.
I should get it. Okay.
Fidgeting, Dan licks his lips. Helen crosses the room and answers the phone.
Hello? Hello?
Dan turns down the stereo.
What? Well, I'm sorry.
At the prom.
Can you hear me now? Yes, this is Mrs. La Gambina. Yeah, hi. I don't mean to worry you, but Audrey's not here. She arrived with Peter, but she seems to have gone off with BZ.
Helen shuts her eyes.
I understand. Thank you for calling. Dan, that was the school. Audrey left the prom with BZ, and they overheard some kid saying that BZ was bragging about taking her to a motel.
What motel?
They wouldn't say.
Okay, they're gonna tell me.
Dan kisses her forehead.
I knew it.
Don't worry. I'll call you from the prom. Don't worry.
He rushes out.
Audrey.
Now at Jenny's, Ed fiddles with the TV as his wife knits.
Ed, do you know that a lot of celebrities are knitting now? Isn't that interesting?
Oh, wow.
He gets the phone.
Ed, tell him. I need Jenny.
Ed covers the receiver.
It's Helen.
Really?
Jenny bites her lip, then takes the phone.
Hello?
Now Helen paces in her building's hallway. Jenny steps out of the elevator.
What have you found out?
Thank you.
They embrace.
So what do you know?
Nothing yet. Dan's at the gym trying to see if he can get something out of BZ's friend.
Later, Helen talks on her cell phone inside.
No, thank you for your time. Jenny, we've called over 20 motels. BZ has a car. He could be anywhere. They could be in the middle.
Helen,
come up for all we know.
Did you let her have a credit card?
No.
Okay, what about your credit cards? Check your wallet.
Helen hurries out of the room.
I'm having a banana.
Jenny sits and peels a banana. In another room, Helen digs her wallet out of her purse, then fingers an empty card slot inside it.
My Visa's gone. Okay.
Jenny takes out her cell phone.
I'm gonna call Visa and check your recent activity. If she's used it, they'll know where.
Quite the detective.
Now I'm a mom.
Now Helen knocks on Nilma's door.
I need your help, Nilma!
Nilma grips her bat.
Let me at them.
No, no. Could you watch Henry and Sarah, please? I'll explain later.
Dubby, just watch the kids. I'm going to help Helen again, okay?
Now at the prom.
Look, if you don't tell me, I'm going to suspend your asses so long you're going to get Social Security when you graduate. Where are they?
Dan stares down 5 teenage boys. Now Jenny and Helen drive through the rain.
Jenny, I'm sorry you had to come out.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
Helen answers a cell phone.
Audrey?
Helen, I know where they are.
Oh, Dan, so do we. We're halfway there.
Okay, I'll meet you.
No, no, this is something I have to do by myself.
I should come with you.
Dan, please.
Hello?
One of BZ's friends sits alone.
Hello?
Dan puts down the phone. Now Jenny speeds along a city street.
We're getting closer. It's just down the street.
A sign up ahead reads Motel.
There it is!
Jenny steers into a driveway. Neon letters reading Motel Glen Capri glow on a building. Later outside the motel's office.
I don't know, lady.
Give me the key.
Look, there's laws against this thing.
There's laws against renting rooms to minors. Now give me the key.
Hey, I don't want any trouble.
Give me the key!
I need that key back. Don't forget it.
What, do you think I want to live here? I'd rather sleep in a field, you crazy man. Come on. Now, he said you're in 205, okay?
Okay.
You got to go in there with both guns blazing.
I know.
Rip him a new one.
I know.
Okay?
I got it.
Take charge.
Right.
And get her out of there.
Okay.
They stop outside room 205.
Okay, so just say housekeeping or something. Get the door open.
Helen looks weakly at Jenny.
I can't do it.
What?
I can't do this. I can't go in there. She's gonna hate me.
She's gonna hate you if you don't.
I can't do it. Jenny, I'm not you, okay? I can't do it.
Jenny gapes. Helen shifts her weight.
Please, just... please.
Okay.
Jenny knocks on the door. Inside, BZ takes off his shirt.
Housekeeping!
We're already asleep. Could you come back in the morning, please?
Audrey glances around anxiously. Outside, Jenny unlocks the door and pushes it partway open, but a chain holds it closed. Shoving the door, she breaks the chain and charges in.
Hey, Jenny, what are you doing here? How did you find-
You have 10 seconds to get your things together and get in the car. Stay!
BZ stops.
10?
You're not my mother if you haven't noticed.
No, but I love you very much, and I will be your worst nightmare if you don't get in that car now.
Helen squirms
7.
Outside.
6.
We're not ready to go yet.
Oh, you're not ready? Well, are you ready for this?
She holds her pregnant belly.
I don't think so. Are you ready to be a parent? I don't think so. 4.
Audrey quickly
3.
Grabs her things.
Are you happy? You just ruined my entire life.
Well, we'll fix it later. 2.
Audrey storms out with her back to Helen.
You!
Chill out, Mommy.
Hey.
It's all good.
Don't you talk to me like that.
It's just prom.
You listen to me. If you ever so much as blink in her direction again, I can and will bury you so far in the ground that the heat from the Earth's core will incinerate your sorry ass. Do you understand me?
Yes, ma'am.
Jenny starts to leave, then turns back. BZ recoils.
By the way, you're not a bad person, but this is very bad behavior. Very bad behavior.
BZ gulps. Glaring, Jenny strides out. Helen stares after her departing sister, then drops her gaze. A tear streaking her rosy cheek, she turns her eyes heavenward, then shakes her head. Now in the apartment, Helen and Jenny stand at Audrey's bedroom door.
Go away! I'm never speaking to either of you!
She's gonna be fine. She's gonna be just fine.
As they walk away, Dan appears.
It was so nice to meet you, and thank you for your help.
Sure.
Jenny pulls Helen into a close hug. Helen's blue eyes dart anxiously.
So I'll just come pack up the kids in the morning and,
Helen nods.
You're doing the right thing. You are. Okay.
Helen blinks hard. Behind her, Dan presses his lips together.
So good night.
Jenny grabs her purse and coat and leaves.
Good night, Jenny.
Helen shuts the door, then hesitates. In the hall, the elevator doors close behind Jenny. Now in the apartment.
You want me to make you a cup of tea?
Helen passes him, carrying the champagne glasses.
No, thanks.
She pours out the glasses.
I think it would be best for me if you just go.
Why?
I'm not a mom. I'm not girlfriend material. I'm not brave. I'm not anything you need.
He touches her arm.
Hey, Helen.
No, please.
Don't.
Please, Dan.
Helen stares firmly at him. With a wounded frown, Dan turns and walks away. Her shoulders slumped, Helen wearily watches him go. Daytime. In the front of the apartment building, Audrey, Henry, and Sarah sit in Jenny's minivan. Jenny and Helen hug on the sidewalk.
Okay, so then if you want to come on Sunday, great, and you just figure that out. All right, and then say goodbye to the kids.
Helen sits down near Sarah, who averts her eyes.
Hey, you make sure Hippo has a nightlight so he doesn't get scared in the dark, okay?
Sarah sweetly pecks her on the cheek. Helen touches Henry's arm.
Henry, don't worry about it.
Pouting, he turns away. Audrey stares straight ahead as Helen comes over.
I know you're mad. I'd be mad too. But really, Audrey, I'm only thinking of you.
Jenny gets in the van.
I got you guys something. I thought you might like it.
It's a framed photo of Hippo's birthday dinner.
Oh, that's darling.
Audrey glares at Jenny.
Okay, say goodbye to Helen.
As the car pulls away, Audrey looks back. And Sarah and Helen press their fingers to the car's window. Helen waves as they drive off. The two old men spy on her over their newspapers, then continue reading. Sitting down on the curb, She puts her head in her hands. Now at the modeling agency, Helen meets Dominique in her office. An assistant sets down a tray for tea. Helen, wearing a black scoop neck top, smiles at her.
Ibsen wrote, "Not all women are meant to be mothers," and I have to say I agree with him. Fashion and family do not mix. But, you know, there can be exceptions.
Dominique pours tea.
Exceptions?
Would you like some tea?
No, thank you. Exceptions like...
Tinker.
Tinker?
She wants you to be her agent, of all things. And as she is one of our biggest earners right now, well... I want you back.
Helen smiles. Now, at Massey Motors, she shows an employee how to use the intercom. At the agency, Dominique fetches Helen from her cubicle. A plaque on the desk reads, "Agent." Now Helen dances with friends at a nightclub.
It's time to make up my mind. And I can't really tell him what I'm gonna do. There are so many thoughts in my head. There are two roads to walk down and one road to choose. So I'm thinking over the things that you've said.
Helen's smile fades, and she walks outside.
Hey, Helen.
Hey.
You calling it a night, or you want to go eat?
Oh, no, I'm just going to go home.
Thinking over, thinking over.
Helen passes the bouncer, and her stilettoed feet carry her down a rain-soaked street. Later, at her apartment building.
Thinking over, thinking over the things. Am I ready for forever?
Arriving home, Helen looks glumly around the dark apartment with her shoes in her hands.
Cause if we're to be together, then it's got to be divine. And I can't what I'm gonna do.
Daytime. Helen brings a plate of food to Pastor Dan, who sits at a table in the St. Barbara's courtyard. He takes off a pair of headphones and eyes her skeptically. Reaching out, Helen caresses his hair, then softly kisses his forehead.
Thinking over the things. Thinking over, thinking over.
Dan smiles a little. Gently, Helen kisses him, and he presses his lips to hers. She smiles, and he strokes her face. Now, at the playground, Helen swings with Nilma's daughter on her lap. Helen smiles at all the children around her. Now Helen sits at home alone watching commercials on the television.
Smells like sunshine.
Hi, I'm Mickey Massey. I've been married for a long time now, but my wife and I don't have any children, so my cars became my babies. I know that sounds obsessive, but you don't know the joy I feel when I find them a good home. I mean, look at these beauties. What's not to love? Massey Motors, come visit us. I love my cars. And you will too.
Massey Motors in Queens. Now back to the Saturday 6 o'clock movie.
Her face pensive, Helen swallows, then stands. Now at Massey Motors.
Phone call, Mr. Massey.
Hey, good night. Good night.
It's your wife.
The receptionist hands Massey a phone.
Hello, Dad. Oh, please. I look like I always do. Good night, Tim. Thank you very much.
Massey sets down the phone as Helen approaches.
Hold on. Hi. Helen, you've come back to work.
Oh, no. No, Mickey, I need to borrow a car desperately. It's an emergency.
Sure, use one of the test drives.
Hey, you are great on TV.
Oh, sure, I look great, but did I sell any cars?
She strides out.
I'm sorry.
Eddie, I need this car.
You can't take this car. This is Mr. Massey.
I know, but it's the only one with a full tank of gas. I have to go.
In the showroom.
What movie star did I look like? Well,
Massey sees Helen speed off.
Helen, I think you misunderstood.
Now Helen drives a shiny black Jaguar through a suburban town center, passing several fluttering American flags and a white steepled church. Nighttime, Helen pulls into Jenny and Ed's driveway and parks the Jaguar. In the house, Jenny sits highlighting a magazine. She glances out a window.
Ed! Ed, who do we know with the Jaguar?
Could be a celebrity coming to knit with you.
Origami! Origami! Shh!
Holding origami, Jenny opens the door for Helen.
Helen, I'm here for my kids.
Okay, I'm listening.
Helen brushes past her inside. Later, they sit in the living room.
I don't even know who I am anymore without them. I need them and I want them back.
Okay, let me see if I've got that. You need them because you want them, because you don't know who you are without them.
Helen nods.
See, all I'm hearing is you, you, you. But this can't be about you. It has to be about them.
What don't you understand? I love those kids.
Whether or not you love them was never the question. It was whether or not you could raise them.
The kids listen from the staircase.
The power to take the kids back is yours. This is not a power struggle between you and me. This is me asking you to do the right thing for everyone. The kids aren't packed. It's too late for them to go anywhere tonight anyway.
Ed, can you let Origami out?
Ed and the dog watch TV.
Come on, the bases are loaded. Skeeter's up.
Her face pinched, Jenny strides out of the room.
I'll be right back.
Ed, I mean, don't you hear him?
The kids come over.
Hi.
Helen scoops Sarah into her arms and strokes Henry's hair.
Hey, Henry. Audrey, I miss you guys.
Audrey leans against the doorway.
You guys heard all that?
Yeah, we did.
Hey, you left Erwin back at our place. Why?
She hands him a box.
It's not really Erwin. My Erwin had a skull and crossbones that I drew on his stomach.
Why didn't you say something?
Seemed he didn't want me to know.
Sarah, honey, why don't you go play with Turtle and figure out a name for him?
Jenny slips into the room.
I just couldn't stand the idea of you losing something else you cared so much about.
Can I put him in a bowl?
Yeah.
Grinning, Helen kisses Henry's cheek.
Sarah, you want to help Henry with the turtle?
Jenny watches intently from a doorway.
Can I name it Hippo?
Why do you want to name everything Hippo?
Because I can spell it.
Henry and Sarah leave.
Audrey, sweetie, can you do me a favor and get me your wallet?
Audrey straightens.
Why? Could you just do it, please?
Her arms crossed, Audrey heads for the coat area by the stairs. She grabs a black wallet off the floor and brings it over.
Open it up and give me your fake ID.
Tears shine in Audrey's eyes.
Why? Because I said so. That's why.
I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not a child.
Yes, you are. You are a child, Audrey. And you have a right to a childhood, and you should fight for it. But if you won't, then I will. Now give me your ID.
Helen holds out her hand. Scowling, Audrey pulls out a card and throws it on the floor. Helen purses her lips.
That was very adult of you.
She picks up the card.
You tricked me. I thought you were on my side, but you're just like her. I hate you. Do you hear me? I hate you!
Well, just gonna have to live with that.
Staring her down, Helen raises her eyebrows. Audrey gapes and runs upstairs. Shutting her eyes, Helen bows her head. Jenny trades a glance with Helen as she walks past, rubbing her chin thoughtfully. She waves toward the stairs, then considers her sister.
Well, we don't have to decide this tonight.
Helen collects her purse and swings it onto her shoulder. Leveling a cold look at Jenny, she lets herself out. Jenny stares after her and purses her lips. Jenny opens the door. She stands in the doorway, her pregnant belly bulging beneath her flowered shirt. Helen shoots her a glance, then turns and backs the Jaguar down the driveway. The car's license plate reads, Mickham. Her chin raised, Jenny watches Helen drive off, then returns inside. Now Helen drives back through the town center, past the small church, now illuminated by spotlights. At the house, Jenny carries a wooden keepsake box to the dining room table, her lips curled in a slight smile. Wincing, she lowers herself into a chair, then takes an envelope out of the box. She slides out a folded letter and opens it. Resting her chin on her hand, she reads. Now in Queens, Helen sits on a bench outside the playground. Her hands in her lap, she stares off into the distance. In flashbacks, Helen and Lindsay wear red-tiered Devo hats and dance with their family at Lindsay's house. Audrey and Sarah shake their hips, and Henry holds his turtle. Grinning, Lindsay and her husband Paul loosely embrace and dance together. Helen blinks thoughtfully. She starts as someone walks up.
Oh, Jenny. What are you doing?
At first, I didn't agree with this letter. But...
She hands the letter to Helen, who holds it to her chest.
Sit down.
No, I think I'll swing. In fact, you know what they say.
What?
It's not over till the fat lady swings. See, I can make a joke.
Smiling, Jenny walks onto the playground. Wrinkling her brow, Helen opens the envelope, then glances at Jenny as she makes her way to the swing set. Tossing back her blonde curls, Helen takes a deep breath, then reads the letter aloud.
Dear Jenny, if you're reading this, you know that I'm gone. And I asked Helen to be the guardian for the kids.
And you're probably freaked about it. Yes, it's a surprising choice, considering that you are the most incredible mother I've ever known.
Helen looks over her shoulder at Jenny, who smiles as she gently swings.
If you find this letter odd, understand that my always be prepared, Paul, convinced me to write it now, while our children are young.
Daytime. As Helen stares out her window, Henry and Sarah walk in behind her. Sarah tugs at her cheek. Helen breaks into a grin and turns around. She hugs the two of them.
You must know from experience that when it comes to picking somebody else to raise your kids, no one seems right. No one is you.
Her gaze low, Audrey lingers near the door. She takes a deep breath and whispers, "I'm sorry."
And so you choose someone who is most like you.
Helen cups Audrey's face, then embraces her.
Someone that will give the kids a taste of their real mom. The mom they lost and never really got to know. In so many ways, we are so much alike.
Jenny strides in and the sisters share a warm hug.
That's why I chose Helen.
They're all yours.
Of course, she'll have lots of fights with the kids, yet she'll find a way to make up.
Nilma gives Helen a baseball bat wrapped with a bow.
Welcome to the mamahood.
I know, sometimes she messes things up. And makes
now Helen mistakes. Visits Jenny and her baby.
On the other hand, she also makes big comebacks. Respect her, Jenny. Give her a shot. We're family, and I'm counting on you to keep everyone together.
Now Helen, Dan, and the kids stroll on a boardwalk.
Helen will certainly need some help learning how to be a mother to my kids.
Sarah eyes her untied shoelace.
But I've got you for that. And who could be better?
Sarah sits on a bench and starts to tie her shoe. She waves Helen away.
After all, you raised Helen. You'll teach her how to be a mom, just like you taught her how to tie her shoes. I can still hear you telling her. The bunny goes around the tree and into the burrow.
Helen watches Sarah make two loops and tie them together.
Pull tight.
Sarah gives the late final tug, then grins.
Yes!
Ah! It's about time, Sarah.
Yes. Well, then our problem comes along.
Helen hugs Sarah, then Audrey picks up her sister.
Whip now whip it!
Helen and Dan wrap their arms around each other and share a smile.
Go forward! Move ahead!
As they cross the boardwalk, an ice skating rink fills our view.
To whip it! Whip it good!
This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH, described by Laura Paler and Melissa Carlson, read by J.T. Turner. For more about description, call DVS at 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at access.wgbh.org. Credits roll. Unit Production Manager, Margaret Hilliard. Unit Production Manager, Carol Cuddy. First Assistant Director, Ellen H. Schwartz. Second Assistant Director, David H. Venghaus, Jr. Second Unit Director, Scott Marshall and David H. Venghaus, Jr. Associate Producer, David Scharf.
Love comes out of nowhere, babe, just like a hurricane, and it feels like a rain.
Credits continue. Cast: Kate Hudson as Helen Harris, John Corbett as Pastor Dan Parker, Joan Cusack as Jenny Portman, Hayden Panettiere as Audrey Davis, Spencer Breslin as Henry Davis, Abigail Breslin as Sarah Davis, Helen Mirren as Dominique, Sakina Jaffrey as Nilma Prasad, Kevin Kilner as Ed Portman, Felicity Huffman as Lindsay Davis, Sean O'Brien as Paul Davis, Amber Valletta as Martina, Ethan Brown as Devin, Michael Esparza as BZ, Katie Carr as Caitlin, Shakara Ladard as Tinka, Joseph Mazzello as prom date Peter, Catherine Terrian as Jasmine Portman, Evan Sabara as Oliver Portman, Paris Hilton as Amber. Now Dan drives Helen around the ice rink on a Zamboni.
I've been thinking, wishing, hoping, praying in your heart is where I'm staying. A love like this doesn't happen to much.
Credits continue. Cast from Dominique's. Sandra Taylor as Lacey. Wesley Horton as Gary Higelnick. Bernie Hiller as John Paul. Chandra Renee as Intern Mary. Brigida Lauren as Simone. Cast from New York Life. Alec Nemser as Hippo Waiter. James Hanlon as Restaurant Maitre D'. Sonny Hawks as Kyra. Jason Olive as Chip. Cast from New Jersey Life. Julie Paris as Real Estate Woman. Cast from Queens Life. Bridge Chair Guys. Bob Jacobs and Artie Sachs. Alan Thicke as Hockey Cantor. Gary Gones as Hockey Ref Scotty Buttons. Cast from Queens School. Catherine Marshall as Mrs. La Gambina. Tom Hines as Pastor Wells. Lori LeBeau as Basketball Coach. Cast from Massey Motors. Bernard White as Ravi. Rowan Joseph as Ralphie. Pamela Zane as Renee DiCarlo. Remaining opening titles. Casting by Molly Finn. Co-producers Todd Lieberman and Karen Sturgwalt. Music supervisor Don Soler. Music by John Depney. Costume designer Gary Jones. Editors Bruce Green, ACE, and Tara Timpone. Production designer, Stephen Jordan. Director of photography, Charles Minsky, ASC. Executive producers, Mario Iskovich and Ellen H. Schwartz. Produced by David Hoberman and Ashok Amritraj. Story by Patrick J. Clifton and Beth Ragazio. Screenplay by Jack Amiel and Michael Begler. Directed by Gary Marshall. Songs including Stand Back, written by Carole King and Paul Williams. Performed by Joan Osborne. If You Walk Away, written by Fifi Dobson and Jay Devine. I Want to Know What Love Is, written by Mick Jones. Whip It, written by Jerry Casale and Mark Mothersbaugh, performed by Devo. Extraordinary, written by Lauren Christie, Graham Edwards, Liz Phair, and Scott Spock, performed by Liz Phair. Ride, written by Chris Robinson, performed by Chris Robinson and the New Earth Mud. Whose Life Am I In, written by John Shanks and Kristen Osborne. Performed by Kristen Osborne of She Daisy. Fashion, written and performed by David Bowie. Never Be the Same, written by Justin Moore, Philip Bogard, Matthew Chambliss, Shay Soule, and Rick Beato. Performed by Ingram Hill. Destiny, written by H. Binns, S. Hardiker, S. Baker, and S. Furler. Performed by 07. At the Zoo, written by Paul Simon. Performed by Simon and Garfunkel. Sweetest Pain, written by Michael Mangini and Shelley Peakin. Performed by Haley Duff. Amazing, written and performed by Josh Kelly. Feels Like Rain, written and performed by John Hyatt. Thinking Over, written and performed by Dana Glover. A Love Like This, written by Steve Fox, Stan Fraser, Mark McGrath, and Robbie Neville. Performed by Mark McGrath. Sister Sunshine, written by John Ondrasky, Andrew Williams, and Kurt Schneider. Performed by Five for Fighting. Soundtrack album available on Hollywood Records. Film shot in Los Angeles, California, and New York, New York. Copyright 2004, Holding Pictures Distribution Company, LLC. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution. In a logo, mountains stand behind a cityscape, and a spotlight points skyward. A word appears, beacon. Another logo appears, a blue sphere shot through with a flash of lightning. Touchstone Pictures.